Hello. First of all, I want to say welcome to everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
First of all, I want to say welcome to everybody to the new Man Up Show. And you know, I want to say hello to everybody, of course. We're going to have my partners in crime starting soon, but we're going to start with our official new opening. We hope you enjoy it. So just sit back, chill, check it out. This is the new intro. Yours truly, Mr. Naz, my man, Mr. Edward L. Fairley, Mr. Darryl Harrington, and of course, my man, Mr. Hassan Black. Welcome to the new Man Up Talk Show.
Something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the deal.
Where do I want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my mind, man.
Want to say hello, everybody, and welcome to the show, the Man Up Talk Show, with yours, Mr. Naz. And I believe we got my brothers on the line, Mr. Edward L. Fairley. You in the building, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was good, baby.
Hey, what's going on, baby? What's going on, man? You know, that's one of the strongest brothers in the game. And, of course, we got my brother from Big O in the building, the one and only Mr. Dow Harrington.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. We in the house.
All right. No doubt. What do you guys think about the new intro?
Yeah, that's a hot, man. I banged with that, yeah. I banged with that, for real.
Well, with that being said, you know, Brother Dow, couldn't make it with you Saturday. You could tell this was I was in the lab doing what I do, brother. Then my man called me like, you have a session. I'm like, all right, I'm on my way right now. I already paid for it. I'm in there. But, you know, we appreciate everybody that supports. And, of course, check out the show. We're getting a lot of love, and you know, there's a lot of people checking out the show. But I want to do the premiere of my man, Mr. Eddie's. He has an upcoming show. We're still in the works right now. We're behind the scenes working with it. He has a talk show coming up. But right now we're also working on the talk show segment of To the Root of It. So, you know, I got the concept from my brother here. So we're going to hit that real quick, and then we're going to go into the talk a little bit, if you guys don't mind. Is that cool with you?
Cool.
Right,
I'm anticipating like everybody else, so it's the first time for me, too. I'm listening.
Let's go. Just take a listen. All right. I think this is switchboard. Hit the wrong one. Here we go. This is right here.
What's he doing?
He's beginning to believe the body cannot live without the mind.
That's what they're just waiting for. We're going to sit back on it for a while and let them sweat on it.
Yo, we got to talk. Hold on.
Communication starts with self-first. You have to first know yourself and figure out the process of learning how to understand you.
What are you?
I'm complicated.
You know, I just came to check up on you.
The radio show called To the Root of It.
This is my passion.
To the root of it.
So, for one, getting to the root of the things that we do, communicating in a manner that they understand why, so that they can now work on trying to break a habit.
To the root of it.
When someone does the opposite of what is quote unquote common sense.
To the root of it.
But if common sense is common, everybody would know to do it, and there would be no need to correct someone or tell someone that they're not doing what everyone knows is common.
Okay, I've digested what he said to me in good faith. Now let me see if I can expand upon it. And he's about to make it work for me.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Edward L. Fairley.
Radio show To the Root of It.
It is time to keep your appointment.
Yeah, that's the official intro for To the Root of It. Just got the concept from my brother Eddie. So what do you think, brother?
I like it, man. I had to move from the phone. I could barely hear what was being said at the beginning, but when I moved to the to my laptop, I could hear it better, and I appreciated it better that way.
No problem.
So
brother.
Of course, I will be running that back and playing it on my own by myself.
But, yeah, we getting a lot of love. I mean, what's going on right now, something special is going to be going on here with Shadow Wolves Entertainment. Love to enlighten you, Brother Dow, what he's doing, Man Up Show. We are very appreciative. And you guys said something last week that was thought-provoking about how we leave our legacies, what type of legacy did we want to have. And I'm going to kind of borrow a terminology that Brother Dow said about everybody want to know your novel. They want to know what's in your novel. So right now, I think it's appropriate for you two gentlemen to kind of lead up the conversation about what's your legacy in God's plans for all of us. No excuses allowed.
No excuses allowed.
Is that tight enough for you?
Ed, you want to go first? You want me to take it?
Go ahead, man, because I've been marinating on this whole topic today, saying, where is this going to go? So, yeah, please, pass the baton.
You're right, cuz. I mean, that's a mouthful. It really is. This is sort of like last week's show where, I mean, there's so many different ways you can go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's destiny is a different one. Everybody's journey is different. The hopeful destination is the same. God's intention for us is all to have a good life, to be there and to be in support of one another, to love and exalt him, and to return back to him, which was given to us. Mm-hmm. Period. That's no matter who you are. That's, you know, from the first person that was ever born to the last person who will ever die. That's the goal and that's the intent. Now, everybody's road is different. Everybody's circumstance is different. Everybody has something different to bring to the table. So it's for us to go through trial and error. There's some crying days. There's some painful days. There's some good days. But we all are here just to be supportive of one another, to help one another, because it's not really about us. And I think that's where we get kind of lost along the way. We get self-indulgent that, you know, we think everything is about us. You know, what I'm going through, what I'm, you know, what's going on in my life at this moment. When really, even the good things that happen to you is only for you to be able to bless others. And the bad things that happen to you is so you can be able to relate to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been there myself. I share your pain. I share your struggle. It says in the Bible that when my brother has a good day, I have a good day. When my brother has a bad day, I have a bad day with him. We go through it together. And, I mean, it's not necessarily just my brother as in we share the same mother and father. That's me and Nas. That's me and Ed. That's me and Hawks. That's me and another brother that I may never even met before. But we're all here for one another. Nobody's here. Nobody's an island unto themselves. I don't care how many people say that they're a loner and, you know, I do my dirt all by my lonely. No, you don't. You either do your dirt to somebody or you do your dirt with somebody.
True that.
You don't do the thing all by your lonely. So we all are here for one another. Now, what is your legacy? It's what you leave behind. Mm. Are you leaving the best of you or are you leaving the worst of you? Because we both have both. We have the best of ourselves and we have the worst of ourselves. Now, sometimes we make a conscious effort to do right, and let's be real, sometimes we have to make a conscious effort to do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you know, there's an old saying that, okay, there's a good dog and a bad dog locked up inside each and every one of us. Which one wins is the one that you fed the most.
True.
So if you hype on what you do right and you try to constantly do right by others, you know, there's that saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Everybody, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Everybody went off the adage of, okay, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to try to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. This world will be a much better place, but I mean, it may sound a little pie in the sky, it might seem a little naive, but it would be. If you try to just live your life daily and try to understand that, okay, take a step out of yourself and look at where the other person's coming from, we would go through life with a lot less conflict, a lot less headaches, and a lot less heartaches if we're able to do that. But, you know, that's just my intro on the topic, you know. You know, brothers, let's just kick this around for a while.
I just want to just add in what you elaborated on. The reason why I thought the topic was appropriate because I watch a lot of young people kind of accept their lifestyle. They accept, well, why should I worry about my community? Why should I worry about, you know, I'm just going to do me. I'm living for today. You know, and I talk to these young men, and, you know, I say, hey, listen, you know, you need, you know, think about the future. A lot of our young people today, as well as some of our older people, they don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about what's going to be said for them, what type of legacy they're leaving. So they don't feel like, you know, I don't owe nobody nothing. You know, I don't need nobody. There's no legacy. So, you know, you're just talking all that Malcolm X or Martin Luther King talk, you know, some ignorant stuff like that. And I tried to explain to them. I'm like, you know, is this the, this the perception that you want to leave behind for your family to remember you by, or people just don't remember you at all? You know, that's why I kind of felt that we wanted to go into the topic, because there's people listening, and I know we got a couple of listeners that don't understand that, and understanding that God has a plan. And in those people, I have a couple of friends checking out the show. Whatever he does or whatever they do religious-wise, what is God? You know, we get into it all the time. There is a God. There is a plan. And I know that you two gentlemen can help elaborate on there, because there's always a higher being looking over us and giving us a plan, because it's all part of his plan. And I want to make sure that these people listen, from North Carolina to Florida to Georgia to PA.
Can I?
Absolutely.
You know,
the floor is yours, brother.
Like I'm playing double dutch and I'm waiting for my turn to jump in.
Oh, no, you there, brother. Hold up. I'm throwing you the alley-oop now. There's the alley-oop.
I'm feeling what Brother Darryl said. I mean, basically, our journey is to find and show God, who is love, and through our legacy and testimony, bring people along with us. That's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow, because we see things that we encounter on a day-to-day basis as so negative. But without that negative, you wouldn't know and understand what love is until you experience the opposite of that negative. So you can't appreciate life with light without darkness. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even know that there was light without darkness. So you know, it's the story of a candle that thought it was the it was told that it was a beautiful light, but it was told that under the sun. So how can you know that you are the light without being in the darkness? You have to experience the opposite in order for you to appreciate the opposite, or know that there is something different. That's why I tell people all the time, especially when it comes to relationships, like, man, I understand how hard it is to be hurt and all that stuff like that, but that is a part of your journey so that you can appreciate and prepare yourself to appreciate that right person for you. But how can you appreciate something that you have all the time? That's a part of the journey. A lot of people, you know, we've talked about this a while ago, Nas, they say, you know, if there's a God, why is there so much negative and turmoil in the world? Well, it's because there is a God. I know that sounds weird, but in the end, God's promise or covenant to us was to give us free will.
Yep.
So with that free will and with our free will, we as people just make bad decisions. And because God loves us so much, he gave us free will and did not allow us to be robots and control our minds and our thoughts. Therefore, us as humans, we make decisions that cause the world to look terrible. So if God was to step in and just stop our thought process or force us to make a different decision or what have you, then we would not have free will. We would just be robots. But he loves us enough to say, okay, I'm going to allow you to be who you are, and even when you mess up, I'm going to take that terrible thing and still make it turn out to be a beautiful thing in the end.
Hmm.
This is why we have stuff like the Amber Alert, all these foundations and stuff like that. It took stuff that was terrible to shine light on the terrible, what have you, to cause us to show love and what God looks like within the community and the world.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's right, bro. That's right. Now, Brother Eddie, I'm going to play devil's advocate, if I may.
Please,
I
love devil's advocate. Please, all right. Do it.
Tonight, I'm going to play the bad guy.
Yes, I can do that.
You guys,
I'm going to
play the bad guy. I'm the bad guy that Oh, you know what? I'm telling you. I don't give a fuck what you're saying.
Okay.
Why should I even
okay.
care? Why should I even care? Why care about what I'm doing? Why you care about what I'm doing? Why you all in my business? I'm a young man that you're mentoring. I'm putting in a better perspective that maybe something you can relate to.
Why care?
Yeah, why should I care?
Well,
I'm here because my mama told me to be here.
Oh, I get that all the time.
All right, but now you got the most nastiest person. He's up in your face. He's telling you, why should you care about me? Why should I care about myself?
As far as the child is concerned, my response to that was because you don't care about yourself yet. So let me be the one to help you learn how you should care about yourself. If you're not going to do it, somebody else will, and I'm willing to do it so that you can understand what that looks like. Then you can follow my lead and then eventually feel that little tug in your heart and that conscience that says, hey, maybe this is the right way, and then I can kind of pull you and guide you over to this other way. Most people, that's their defense mechanism. They don't want to be hurt anymore. They're tired of experiencing the pain or what have you, so they shut down or they try to numb themselves to prevent themselves from feeling anything. Or they take pain medicine to stop the pain.
Good point.
Unfortunately, you have to just show them that there are great people out there. There is real love out there, despite your current situation, despite your mom and your dad or what have you. There really are people out there that really care for you. I tell this to my boys all the time. They be like, man, I say, it's okay. I don't have any problems with y'all hating me. But while y'all out there kicking rocks and saying how y'all hate Brother Eddie, make sure you end the sentence correctly. Kick the rocks and say, man, I hate Brother Eddie because he loved me so much. He make me sick, always loving and caring on me all the time. Make sure that you say the whole sentence correctly. Don't just say, I hate Brother Eddie. Make sure you say to yourself why you hate me. And in the end, know and understand that it's because I will not allow you to be less than who you can be. And it's because I will not allow you to assume that I don't care. And it's because I'm going to always be in your face showing you that I care. I'm going to always reach out to you, and I'm going to show you the stuff that you should and deserve to have in your life.
Well said. Now, I'm going to spin this now. I'm one of your friends you grew up with. You love, you grew up with, but he, for whatever reason, life or whatever has happened to him made him become bitter and angry at the world. But you know this is your person you grew up with. He's like a brother to you. He's out there with wilding. He's selling drugs, taking drugs, beating on women, getting women pregnant. He's the Antichrist himself, you know, fighting cops. I mean, he's doing everything. But you feel the need because you have a bond with him. His mother comes to you. Hey, listen, can you help out your man, you know, Hawk or something, whatever. We're going to give him a name, Hawk. So, Hawk, if you're listening, it ain't to you. It's just we're just using an example. Is a person who's an adult now worth saving?
Is a person that's an adult worth saving?
Yeah, but he's a friend of you.
Everybody. There's no age limit to somebody that's worth saving. I just had a parent who asked me, was it too late for her child? This past Tuesday, was it too late? He's 15 years old. He's smoking weed. He's disobedient. He doesn't listen or what have you. Is it too late? Yet she is in her, I think, early 40s. And, And she just got into the church. I said, was it too late for you? So it's never too late. I don't care how long it takes you to get there. The job is to just get you there. And to be perfectly honest with you, if someone has to call upon you as a quote-unquote friend to help your friend or say something to you, I'm wondering where have you been the whole time in the first place? But if they have to bring this to your attention that your friend is going down the wrong path. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big talker. I bring people to Christ or to love by showing it, not by telling them or lecturing them on what it is and what it's supposed to look like. They've heard jaw-japping all their life. That's the problem in the first place. So many people have been talking and in their ear, but they haven't shown them or done anything, and they've been doing the opposite. So the best thing you can do is be in that person's life as much as possible and showing them the example of what it is that you are trying to portray to them. There's not enough examples, and that's the issue. So we have to be the loudest people in their ear so that they can hear us over all the rest of the crap that's being played or yelling in the background in the first place. And that's through our actions, not through our words. And then after we go through or we show them examples through our actions, then we can explain where our actions come from. And that's the best way to bring somebody to Christ or whatever religion that is for you. It's through relationship first. And if your relationship is a reflection of what it is that you quote unquote believe in or what have you, it won't if you've gotten them to like you just by being what you represent, then it's going to be easy to introduce you or introduce them to what it is that you represent.
Mm,
so many people that are a part of stuff and they don't reflect what it is that they're a part of, and then they try to introduce the people to what it is that they're a part of. That's why so many people that are missing out on being Christians today, because a lot, matter of fact, I'm going to say majority of the Christians that I come across do not reflect what it is that Christianity is about.
Mm. Mm.
And they wonder why they're losing souls.
Mm. That's deep right there. that's deep. I'm going to spin this question over to you, Brother Darrell. What's your assessment on that?
Well, like I said, Ed said pretty much said a mouthful, but when your boys come to you, you're talking about your boys or you're talking about a young boy? Which one are you talking about?
Let's go both. It's a two-way. I mean, let's start with the young man. A young man, for whatever reason, he comes to you, you're dealing with youth, or he doesn't even come to you, he's dragged to you, or maybe you see him on the street, but you've always seen him, but you still the need or something moving you to help that young man.
Well,
get out of my face, I don't want to hear it, go ahead with that. But for some reason, you're being pulled to help that young man.
Well, then this is the basic answer, is that no matter how much you hate me, I love you much more.
That's right.
So
that's right.
When you're done kicking and screaming, hollering at the moon, I'm still going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can run around with them, and you could do this and you could do that, but understand when it gets dark and the trouble comes, you realize they ain't standing with you no more, right? You do know that, right? But understand, mm-hmm. when it gets dark, you call me. I'll still be right there. Bottom line is, a kid can smell a fake from a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
True. That's true.
If you're there in their corner and you make it perfectly known that I am here, I'm not here to judge you. I made my fair share of mistakes when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they're making yours right now. But what I did was I benefited from the wisdom of others to help me prevent me from making some of the larger mistakes. Now, I still made mistakes. And sometimes people gave me advice that I did not take. And I had to learn from that, just like you will.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that's just the bottom line. Now, as for your boys go,
right.
The man comes to you, he's angry at the world, he's spitting at the moon, he's doing all this stuff that he shouldn't do, but yet he comes to you. The story is that part right there. He came to you.
He trusted
you. Good point. Yeah. Good point. Very good point.
He's the one to come to. He understood. He understood perfectly well. And, I mean, the only thing he wants to hear is he wants to hear that positive reinforcement that he knows he's going to get from you because you're mandated by a higher power. Mm. Now, whatever that higher power is, like I said, I don't know mine. Mm-hmm. Everybody, most people have one. Everybody has a foundation.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. You have a foundation. Now, it might not be the same as mine and not be the same context is mine, but it's a foundation. My foundation is built off of love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word to put it, Master, which is the greatest commandments in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind This is the first great commandment. And the second is to love your
neighbor
mm-hmm. as you love thyself.
Mm-hmm.
So the love that I got for me is the same love that I got for you. No difference. I want what's best for me. I want what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to tell you no crazy nonsense that's going to put you somewhere that, you know, you just can't deal with. You know, like I said, I mean, the word says, the God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are the plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. To help you figure out what it is that you're trying to get to. Because you're fighting, you're struggling, you're fighting, you're kicking at the wind, you're doing all this stuff. Why? Because you're lost. That's why. What do people do when they're lost and they're confused? They just flail. They, you know, like if you're drowning and you're trying to swim, you're trying to get air, you're going every which way just to try to get solid, just to get some air, just to figure it all out. Everybody goes through those moments when you're trying to figure it out. Your boy is going to come to you because he understands you're a solid foundation. You're a base. You're a solid foundation. You understand. So, you know, you're not going to turn him away. You're not going to take advantage of his situation. So let him vent. You want to vent? Vent all you want to. When you're done venting, now let's get real. And, you know, here I am. I'm right here.
Well said.
But then, I have friends that do that all the time. They come to me and they they rant and they rave. At the end of the conversation, they tell me how I make them sick because they wanted to do something bad. Or they wanted to respond the way that they wanted to, but in the end, they realized that that would not be the best route to take. Now, but at the same time, like I said, they always come back to me or come to me, and the end result is the same. So if they're always coming to me and they always end it with I make them sick because that's not how they really wanted to end up. They wouldn't always come back to me if that was the truth.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They wanted me to be that conscience for them, or that other mm-hmm. point of view that would kind of calm them down and keep them from doing what they didn't want to do. And see, that's the problem. That's the problem. A lot of us don't notice those signs. You have so many kids that are crying out. They're just doing it in a manner that doesn't look like what we're talking about, whether it's acting out, whether it's smoking weed, whether it's joining gangs, if they're doing it away from you or they're doing it to show off or they're acting up in school, it's still a cry. What are you doing to try to bring them back and get them back on the path in which they should be going? They're lying out to you. We're not noticing it, but we're judging them and talking bad about them, but we won't even either let them in the church. I think Brother Darryl, we talked about that a little while ago.
We got to go in there.
How they were speaking about the asking, hey, they're not dressed appropriate for the church, disregarding the fact that they came to the church,
right?
but they're not dressed appropriate for the church. So we got people that are coming to the place to try to get that conversation that we were just talking about, but they're getting rejected or they feel uncomfortable because you're looking at how they dress as opposed to them being an opportune vessel for Christ. It's scary. There's so many people out there crying, yelling, screaming for help, not to mention falling to those different areas or places, and we're wondering why. It's because we're not paying any mind. What's up, this?
Wow. I totally agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, people, like I said, people are lost, people are wounded. And you're going to, when you're lost, when you're wounded, when you don't feel well, you're going to rely on the people that you trust the most.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line. You're going to rely on the people you trust the most. So when they come to you, and they do all the time, and sometimes, like,
This is the craziest nonsense. Why are you coming at me with this crap? Seriously. You're too old.
No, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
Why are you coming on my doorstep with this nonsense? But then, like I said, take a step out of yourself. Take a step out of yourself and go, okay, this is the seat that you're sitting in. This is what you're looking at. Okay, this is why you're looking at it. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to relate this to you in a manner that you can readily identify and understand. I'm going to walk you through it, and I'm going to let you identify it. I'm not even going to identify it for you because you already know. You
mm-hmm.
just want to hear me say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you don't know. You do know. That's why you came to me in the first place, because you wanted me to readily identify it so you can go within yourself like, dang, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, you want to have that argument. Nah, we ain't going to have no argument. We're going to put this out here so you readily identify it. You know what it is. Okay. You know, there's a saying that I say it all the time. It might not be your fault, but it is your problem.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The circumstance that befalls you, you do have to deal with it. Now, it might not be anything done that you, per se, had a direct hand in. You know, your job has cutbacks, so they fired you. You didn't want to go home and tell your old lady that you lost your job.
Mm-hmm.
You've been leaving the house for the last week and a half, that everything's perfectly fine. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. You're supposed to have a check. Your rent is due. You don't know how to deal with this. You're angry. You're going to the bar. You're hanging, you're drinking, you're carrying on because you're frustrated over something that happened to you. Now, the initial phase was you got fired from your job because of cutbacks. That's not your fault. There's no way that you can anticipate what happens with your employer. That's not your fault. But
mm-hmm.
outcome of it is your problem. And how you deal and relate with that problem is an issue. We can either do one out of two things. Compound the problem and make it work by making bad decisions, or stop, take a step back, gather your team around you. Everybody has a team. Like I said, nobody's in this ride by themselves. Gather your team around you. Break down the situation as it is and try to come up with a solution for moving forward. Now, sometimes you have to go to an outside source to get information, but so be it.
Good point. Now, let me ask you gentlemen a question. And for those just checking out the show, welcome to the Man Up Show with yours truly, Mr. Naz, Mr. Edward L. Fairley, and Mr. Daryl Harrington. The topic tonight is embrace your legacy. God has a plan for you. With that being said, and staying with the topic, Brother Eddie, you
yeah.
enjoy what you do. You definitely enjoy what you do. You talk about it before. When you're allowed a platform, it's just amazing, and it blows your mind, kind of borrow the same terminology you use, it blows your mind in some of the topics that you go in on. Do you believe that God has empowered you or put you in a position and place to create a legacy?
All right, let's do this. let's talk about how I got here so I can I better.
Okay, all right. That's for the new listeners. I appreciate that.
It'll better align with the topic, and it'll better answer your question. Let's start with me. What is the story of Edward L. Fairley? Okay, so at 2 years of age.
Wow, we're going back that far?
Yep, we sure are. I got time. At 2 years of age, I lost my father to the jail system because he tried to stab my mother. Well, he did. He stabbed my mom 9 times in the back to try to kill her, which caused me to be raised by a single-parent mother. So at 2 years old, I was raised by a single-parent mom who pretty much denounced Christianity because my father was a 13-year minister at that time when he stabbed her in the back 9 times to try to offer. So after this, I turned 6 years of age. This is when God began speaking to me. God told me to
watch my mother closely and do the opposite of everything that she did if I wanted to be successful in life. This is what God told me at six. I didn't really understand who that voice was that was speaking to me. And by the way, when I say God spoke to me, I know this is new for some people. I don't mean I heard an audible voice in the sense that his voice is deep, high-pitched, low, or whispering. The best way I can explain it is there is a complete statement that I can translate in my spirit, which makes it someone speaking. If I can translate a complete thought in my spirit that just dropped into me, that is someone speaking to me. So God spoke to me and told me to watch my mother closely and do the opposite, okay? So this is up to I was six. At six, my mother, who her boyfriend was then Haitian, she moved us to Haiti because, coincidentally, she would never admit it, but it's clear to me, that was the year that my father was getting out of prison, okay? So she moved us to Haiti with her then boyfriend. Now there, oh, let me rewind back. At 4 years old, I was abused by my babysitter. Constantly, all the time, abused by her, beat by her, to the point where it got to the extreme of her sitting me by her furnace and knowing that it was burning and told me not to move. If I was to move from the furnace, she would beat me. This led to my corduroy pants burning to the back of my legs and me ending up with third degree burns. So then after that, of course, I was moved to a different babysitter. And like I said, I got to six, God spoke to me. Then seven, we moved to Haiti. At Haiti, I was abused again. I was abused by my mom's Haitian boyfriend who he felt the best way to make us or get us to learn the Creole language or their dialect in Haiti was to beat me every time he caught me speaking English. The way we were beat was to put our hands out with something called a martinet, and it's a stick with three strands of cow skin on it. You put your hand out, and they give you, I was given at least 35 lashes, and I had to count the lashes out in French. And if we were to slip up or mess up in our count, we start from the beginning over again. Of course, me being a new speaker of French, of course you would slip up on the way to pronounce a number or what have you, so quite often I would have to start over on my lashes if I got caught speaking English. Well, after the 4 months of being there, that relationship didn't work out, which led me, my mother, and my youngest sister in the garage of his house that was being built but wasn't built yet. Because of this, my mother and sister were, of course, afraid of killing chickens and stuff like that for us to eat. So that led me, the 7-year-old, to have to go and catch and kill the animals in order for us to eat to survive, immediately throwing me into manhood as well as living without plumbing. So we had to go to the bathroom in outhouses, and I had to walk miles to get water from wells and water pumps in order for us to bathe, wash clothes, and drink. So I learned how to wash clothes by hand in the basin, as well as to kill animals and so that we can eat and survive. I also learned how to live without lighting. We didn't have any electricity, so we lived off of candles and stuff like that. And after that, that year was over, we finally came back to the States. My English was so poor that my sister that was with me in Haiti had to translate words that I wanted to say in English from Creole to English so that I could speak my American dialect. This then caused me to have trouble with school and stuff when I came back to the States because my English and stuff was off and I was behind in school. Not to mention I'm dyslexic. So with my dyslexia and being behind and schooling, which again, that actually landed us in Virginia because, of course, we weren't going back to New Jersey, I ended up going through school and I began to excel and look at things differently and start to do better in school. After this, that got me all the way through high school. God spoke to me again. He said, do you see what looking at your mom and doing the opposite of what she did got you? Because my mother never graduated from high school. I said, yes. He said, now I want you to look at what most people do and do the opposite. This is when I began to watch what most people do. Most people watch TV. I stopped. Most people did not like reading. I began. I started to study people and everything that they did, which in turn caused me to be better at understanding people, which is where I am now. Now, when I was 12, I met my father again. We reunited, and we became the best of friends. I'm not sure if everyone that is listening knows and understands this, but my father came, he got out of jail, and he ended up having a big, huge church in Patterson, or it might have been Hackensack. I think it's Hackensack, New Jersey, called Koinonia, and he's the one who 2 years ago stabbed a woman, or his mistress, 27 times in face and torso. This was my best friend at the time, and this side blinded our whole family as well as the state of New Jersey and the city of Patterson and Hackensack. Now, that leads me all the way to here. Why did I share all that? Because, one, I now understand why I've been through the stuff that I've been through. One, I had to live in Haiti and stuff. And deal with the whole living without water, going to the bathroom with outhouses and having candles for lighting and all that stuff like that to better bridge the gap between me and the older generation. I can speak to any, matter of fact, until last week, Brother Darryl thought I was the same age as him. I'm only 31 years of age.
Yes, sir.
And it allows me to have a perspective that that allows me to relate to older people because of my my experience in life growing up. So it kind of aligned with the experience of my elders that were coming up, which allows me to understand their jokes, their concepts, and their thought process and rationale, as well as me studying people intentionally, first my mother, being a student of her, and then being a student of just people in general. That caused me to find a relationship between how people thought and reacted and responded, which in turn caused me to better understand and relate to people and, of course, not judge them. And it also, through me reading books and stuff, shifted my perspective and found those quote-unquote secrets that people could keep from black people because I consistently read books all the time. So with that, just reading books forced me to travel in different places, states, cultures, and stuff like that, which forced me to see things differently than just what I experienced in my everyday life, which forced me to not assume that what I experienced was the only thing that happened, which helped me also better to relate to people and not judge people yet. Better understand people. Yes, I was prepared through my journey to build a legacy, and as well as to shift people or direct them towards God and better understanding them and love and enjoying one another through my life's journey and my experiences. And I have a long, long way to go, yet I'm getting to the peak of what I'm created for, which is to be a great communicator who can help people see things through each other's eyes, as well as communicate in a manner that I can speak for those who can't find the words to say what it is that they're really feeling or want to say. So I don't know if that answered your question, but I think it did.
I think that was very well said. I think that a lot of times we as people sometimes say, hey, look, I got it bad, but sometimes you don't know who got it bad. I mean, what this other stories that other people go through out here. So I think we need to be grateful for what we have, because there's always somebody who has it worse. Because definitely, brother, you went through something and you met a lot of challenges, and me personally, and as well as a lot of listeners, want to commend you on the journey that you did. And,
hey,
and of course,
hey,
you are leaving a positive legacy for a lot of people.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You know, can you give us a synopsis of your legacy and what God has planned for you? Then after that, we're going to go to a little commercial break with, you know, the guys on the turntables, and we can come back to the subject. And there's some people out here that want to learn how to build a legacy. Some people don't know. They're not educated. They're just living day by day. They don't understand there's a higher purpose. So, Brother Dow.
Well, as far as my legacy, well, actually, it is still in production. I think all of our legacies are all in production until the day that we leave this earth. It's a plan. It's a journey. To try to make a long story short, the ability to be able to relate to other people's circumstances, the ability to be able to give a voice to the voiceless, just to be a servant. God has given me a humble heart, not necessarily a humble demeanor from time to time, but a humble heart, a servant's heart, the ability to be able to put myself in other people's shoes and be able to go all out for them in a manner that I would go all out for myself or somebody else that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to half-step anybody, especially a person in crisis or a person in need, whether it be a young child or older adult. You think about, you know, you think about your grandparents, you think about your children, you think about your parents, you think about your boys, you think about the person that you love. You look at another person and they come to you with their plight, with their trouble, with their sorrow. And it makes you want to produce even that much for them. I would say that my anointing or my gift from God is the ability to be able to place myself in their position, have the network in order to be able to address many different kinds of situations and help them to overcome it. So that's where I stand right now. And in everything that I do, professionally, personally, socially, emotionally, is based upon that one fact of trying the best that I can day by day to live up to the legacy for which God has laid before me, to go out and love him and put nothing else before him, but also to love you and anybody within the sound of my voice to the same manner that I love myself. Period.
Definitely beautiful stuff. That's just real talk. I mean, me knowing you, me growing up in the same area, I know where you come from, brother. So those listeners that's listening to the show, you know, we went in a little bit last week about, you know, the pros and cons of the word bitch and the nigger. But sometimes we have to, what I call, give back. There's people listening. You know, we want to make also what we do in this show and also what Brother Eddie do and Brother Dow do, we wanted to be a representation of who we are, you know. So we're not just rambling. We're not just talking, you know. We're trying to be teachers as well. So I hope that this reach everyone in listening to the show in good spirits, open minds and hearts. We hope it reach you because it means a lot to us that we able to have a platform that we can talk and share our thoughts from a male's perspective. But kind of all what Brother Eddie says, just to all people, individuals, I mean, everyone. But we only can speak from our perspective because we are men. So we're trying to make a change. We're trying to do the right thing in life. So, you know, for those listeners that's on the show, we hope that this can reach you all. I mean, definitely. So, gentlemen, if you don't mind, you know, we got a DJ set. If it's about 10 minutes, you can take a break. We're gonna let our DJ, you know, do what he does, and we're gonna come back because we have a couple of listeners. I invited a couple of young men listeners. Hopefully I can get them to be on the show next week from the YAP program. I want to kind of explain to them, and maybe you guys can help as well, teaching them how to become better leaders. Because I try to explain to them. A lot of our young men that I personally come across with, I try to explain to them that they have a better purpose in life. They're not out here to be these ignorant, what people label you as, you know, the stereotypes, with your pants hanging off your behind, no vocabulary, no nothing, no hope, no goals. They just living for the day. And I'm expressing to them, because I see leadership, I see certain qualities in a lot of our young people coming up. And, you know, I want to be able to reach them and talk to them. And I know that your brothers can definitely help out and send that message. Are we good with that?
Yes.
All right, no doubt. So, guys, let's go to a little break. We're going to bring on the music once again. For those checking out the show, listen to the Man Up Talk Show with the brothers Dal Harrington and, of course, my brother Edward L. Fairley. Big shout-out to, what's that? We got the men that make a difference, Brother Dal?
Yes, sir.
All right, shout-out to them. Brother Eddie, big shout-out to Sig, of course. You know, I know she's always on the check-in, but let's go to some music, and we'll see you guys in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Cool. down and the circus is through. No one is left but me, you, and all my tears. So many tears, my
had to go back to the Zanzibar area to some of the clubs in Jersey and New York. That was my special request. They shot to my man Hassan Black, putting down with Nas of yours truly. But once again, welcome everyone back to the Man Up Talk Show. We're doing a little bit of everything. We're going to be playing a little bit of everything. Club, we're going to be playing R&B, we're going to be playing everything. So we want everybody to have a good time when you tune into the show. Once again, for those checking out the show, tonight's topic is Embracing Your Legacy. God has a plan for you. And the brothers on the panel is the one and only author, motivational speaker, soon-to-be TV host, Mr. Edward L. Fairley is in the building. Big shout to him for the listeners just tuning in.
Thank you.
All right, all right. And, of course, we got my big dog, my brother right here, out of Big O, Orange, New Jersey. We got Brother Dow Harrington, youth mentor, political activist and community activist, who puts it down and he keeps it real. So we want to welcome Brother Dow to the show, of course.
Thanks.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we doing a lot of things here on the Man Up Talk Show. We're trying to make moves, and we're going to be making moves. This is the brand new format. We're going to be doing a little bit of everything. We have DJs coming in from Virginia, Also, North Carolina, I got my man from ATL. He's going to give us some love next week. I'm going to hit him up, DJ Crime. Big shout out, DJ Crime, tuning in. He's on the checkout. He's down in Georgia. ATL will be on the turntables next week, you know, being part of the men panel, of course. But for those listeners to checking out the show, we're trying to teach something, maybe reach someone out there that needs to understand that they have a bigger plan for themselves in life. You don't just live life to be living it. There's a purpose for you, whether you're a mother, father, sister, brother, husband, lover, however you want to put it. Everyone has a purpose out here, even in the job that you do. You may not think your job's significant, but your job makes a difference. No matter what you do, whether you're picking up garbage, whether you're shoveling, you know, crap off the ground, everyone has a purpose. Please understand that. So, gentlemen, I mean, for the listeners, also big shout-out to my young men at Yap, Brick City. You know, some of the young men I ran into today, a couple of young brothers that play football out of the tri-state area, trying to make a move in college. All you guys have a legacy. All the ladies are trying to get somewhere. Understand, know your worth. You have a plan. You have a legacy. Before we go in, I think we have a caller. I'm not sure if this caller wants to speak. We're going to find out. So, guys, let me just see what we have on this line. Hello, you're on the Man Up Talk Show. Do you want to listen or you want to join the panel?
Hello?
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 Hi.
Oh, who we have online?
How you doing today?
Oh, is this Miss Shannon?
No, it is not. This is Mrs. Walker from Summit.
Oh, Miss Walker. My apologies. How are we doing today, Miss Walker?
I'm doing fine. I just want to give a big shout out to my big brother, Darryl Harrington from Orange, New Jersey.
Okay. Big shout out, Mr. Darryl.
Hi, Wayne.
Hello, Miss Walker. How are we doing today?
Yeah, we're fine. So we're just
awesome.
All listening. If we feel we need to put some input, it's me and my cousin. We're listening. So
don't worry. The tweet line and the Facebook line is open. Well, we're going to get to the callers now. Guys, let's get back to this topic. Let's see, can we reach some people?
All right.
Well, honestly, I like to start with this. If I was to, like you said, there's a reason for everything. If I was to take my life and decide that God had no purpose for me, where would I be today? If I would not have taken the things that I experienced in stride and said there's got to be a reason that I'm going through this, would I be the person that I am today? Matter of fact, I did go astray, which caused me to do a lot of stuff that caused helicopters to be looking for me at one point in time. But in the end, I took all my pessimism and eventually shifted to optimism, but never lost the pessimism. Which caused me to be able to look at things from both ends of the spectrum and allowed me to relate to any type of person because I can understand the optimistic person's point of view as well as the pessimistic person point of view. But at the same time, because I can receive, relate, and understand both sides, that helps me to make educated decisions. Because you have people that are very optimistic that can also lose touch with reality and miss out on making a good decision. Then you have the person that's a pessimist that might miss out on an opportunistic situation and miss out on being something or taking advantage of something that was greatly shared or potentially shared with them during a time or a situation. So being able to have that balance of, I guess, pessimism and optimism, it allows me to see the entire picture, thus causing me to make better and educated decisions when the time comes. So,
Okay. Brother Dow.
Yes, sir.
What is your input on as far as with the topic and how would you lead back in trying to convey this message? And or try to reach some people to understand that they have a better purpose.
Well, here we go. Simply, all right. I just like to say, going back to the statement that we all come from a foundation. We all come from some place. We all have something larger than ourselves that motivates us. Whether you identify it as God, whether you identify it as Christ, Allah, Buddha, whatever. You identify it as something. You give homage to something that is larger than who you are. My basic spiritual background and belief is in God Almighty and love through his son, Jesus Christ, and enveloped by and engulfed in the Holy Spirit. And in believing that God has certain promises that he leaves for us, he promises that we would never need anything, that God should supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So in promising that, I understand that really deep down in the long run, I might not necessarily know where my next meal is coming from. I might not know when my next paycheck is going to be. But somehow, God will make a way. He will provide for me. If I hold steadfast to him, he will hold steadfast for me. It doesn't mean that I won't have bad days. It doesn't mean that I won't have hard times. It doesn't mean that I will not have times where I'm mad or confused or angry or that I won't do something stupid or foolish. It doesn't say any of that. But what it does say is that he remains faithful to those who love him. So in understanding just some basic biblical principles, if you happen to be a Christian, it could see you through so many difficult times. And if I could also say one other thing, is that most things that we go through, whether it be good or be bad, is totally temporary. Whether it's the best day of your life or the worst day of your life, it's temporary. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end, no matter what it is. You went to school, you had fun, you played card and football, you graduated. There was a beginning, there was a middle, there was an end. You were a child. You know, you grew up in your parents' house. You did the things, you know, they raised you to be the person that you are, or circumstances raised you to be the person that you are. You are with them for a certain time period, and then eventually you moved out. It was a beginning, a middle, end. You have children. You bring these little creatures into the world. You are responsible for them totally. At first, they can't do anything without you. They're totally helpless. And then along the way, they gain a little bit more independence, a little bit more independence, a little bit more independence. And then one day, they'll be walking out of your door just like you walked out of your parents' door. Once again, it's temporary. There was a beginning, a middle, and an end. No matter what the circumstance is, I would tell anybody, hold on, because the next phase is coming, no matter what it is. Hold on just a little bit longer.
Well said, brother. Well said. Brother Eddie, I mean, with the journey that you have gone through and you understanding your legacy, I mean, not so much that God was talking to you in your ear. I think through trial and error and what you've been through, you want a better life from what you've had, and you want to help other people. How can someone that does not have that insight understand when they're being called upon?
Get that insight. but the way you do that, I mean, I know that sounds like arrogant or whatever, but the way you do that is, for one, you have to, what most people don't do, examine yourself. I often tell my children as well as the children that I mentor, what did your dash say about you? What did your dad say about you? And I will write on the board or what have you my date of birth, February 24th, 1982. When you finally get to your resting place, the day that you die, what does that dash, what's in the middle of the day you were born to that end date, say about you? What are people going to be saying about you at your funeral? What is the eulogy going to look like based on what you're doing now? What does your dash say about you? And that is your legacy.
you can either deal with it and say, okay, I'm fine with what's going on right now, or I don't like it, but that's just the way it is. Or you can make a change and change what your legacy is, what it is that you're leaving behind. Personally, me, I'm grinding on a daily basis to make it so that I cannot die. Granted, I will leave this earth, but through my writings, my speaking, and all that stuff, I will consistently live my life as if I was still here once I'm gone. If I'm gone and my children are going through stuff, they will be able to go through tapes or books or what have you to see what Dad tell about that particular topic or thing or whatever to help them, help guide them through whatever situation that they're going through. I refuse to die. I'm working hard now so that I can. Even when I'm gone, I'm still going to be leaving the legacy. So what does your dad say about you? You have to investigate yourself. What are your motives? Get to the root of your motives, why you do the things that you do. And then after that, work from there. You were talking about those young boys as far as them being leaders, how to be a leader. If you're listening, young men, write this down. I mean, a leader of one is a leader of many. If you can't lead yourself, you can't lead any. I'll say it again. A leader of one is a leader of many. If you can't lead yourself, you can't lead any. So many people try to skip that step of leading themselves or even learning how to lead themselves and then try to tell people, other people, what to do or show people how to do stuff. If you don't know how to control yourself and what it is that you're doing or make a difference in the direction that you're going, then there's no way that you have the ability to do it with someone else. So you have to first learn how to lead and understand yourself and then take those principles that you use to lead and guide yourself and then use those to lead and guide others. So,
wow, definitely. Now, gentlemen, you said something earlier in the show. Guys, with me?
Yeah, we're here.
All right. You guys said something in the show about how you've changed and how you transformed. Now, there's something called bad legacy, and there's, you know, good legacy. And you have a lot of times as people try to change some of their old ways because, you know, I like you gentlemen yourselves, I have changed a lot of my ways, and I've had to, and I understand that. And how can someone that has been through, who's left a bad taste in everyone's mouth, had a bad legacy for years, just a total knucklehead, and when they found God or whatever higher calling they found and they decided to become better and they want to change their legacy, I mean, how do you motivate them? How do you keep them focused when they're trying to change but just for some reason the streets either pulling them back or the lifestyle keeps pulling them back or they can't shake it? It's like year after year. How can you talk to those people that's listening right now, give them a word of encouragement or advice? How can you encourage them to keep their head up and keep going and putting the bad behind them?
Well, the first thing I would do say to that person is, for one, stop trying to put the bad behind you.
That's
what I mean by that, huh?
That's interesting. No, that's interesting.
Stop trying to put the bad behind you. It is that if you try to run away from who you are, you have yet to face what you've been and be able to move through it. A lot of people try to run away from their past and shove it in a closet and hope no one else sees it. And that's when you are in bondage and you're not free to be who you really are because you're so busy and fighting to keep a secret. When you address whatever is going on, that's when true freedom and growth and you becoming who you need to be comes into place. But if you run away from it, you have not. You haven't addressed it, nor have you grown from it. And when it comes back up, that's when you're gonna hide back in your shell and run again. So you have to address it. And as far as those people who are having this weakness and falling back to their old ways or what have you, for one, that's just human nature. That is the spirit fighting the flesh. And two, don't ask God to take it away from you. Ask God to take the pleasure that comes with it.
So you may have to say that again, bro. Please say that again.
Don't ask
again,
God
bro.
To take. Don't ask God to take it away from you. Ask God to take the pleasure of what comes with it away from you. Once the pleasure goes, because that's what you're running back to. Once the pleasure goes away, then you won't have to necessarily be fighting anything. A lot of people ask God to take it away. If they take it away, that doesn't mean you address it. And when you see it again, you're going to jump back on it. But if you take the taste or the sensation away from it, that's when you've overcome it and you've been able to move through it. That's interesting that you brought this up because I just was having this conversation with the young boys that I mentor, and we were discussing strength. I'm strong in mind, body, and spirit. It's something that they have to learn and understand. And so we were talking about how to strengthen those three things, your mind, your body, and your spirit. I said your body. They immediately say, well, exercise. That's how you strengthen your body. I said, great. Well, if it takes exercise to strengthen the body, there has to be some type of exercises to strengthen the mind and the spirit. So what do you do to strengthen your mind? So we started discussing that. We ended up concluding that through your mind, you can strengthen it by reading, exercising your brain through reading or doing puzzles and communicating with others who are more smarter than you are, and just surrounding yourself with more conscious people or people that have more depth in their thinking and experience or what have you. So that was a way to strengthen your mind. So then it got to the spirit, and this is why I brought this up to talk about this. How do you strengthen your spirit? How do you strengthen your spirit? And that's when a lot of people just got confused. I don't know how to strengthen my spirit. I mean, read the word or what have you. I'm like, well, we just said that will help us in our mental strength. But how do we strengthen the spirit? And what I taught them and helped them understand is the way that you strengthen your spirit, because I just described that you're fighting with your flesh and your spirit. The way that you strengthen your spirit is to deny your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I mean by deny your flesh? If you deny your flesh of what it wants via fasting,
yep.
It's something that I do all the time. I fast for one of two reasons. I fast to get an answer from God that I'm praying about, or I fast when my flesh is weak. When my flesh is weak, i.e., a lot of females coming at me, a lot of females sneaking and getting through or whatever, or trying to attack me with pictures and stuff via email or text message or what have you to get me, I will fast. I will go on a serious fast, denying me something that I know I love, and that would be meat. So I might go on a 30-day fast of no meat or a 2-week fast of no meat or sugar or something like that I love. And through that, in prayer, that strengthens my spirit by denying my flesh. So take something away and take something away from your body and showing your body that you can do it. Because most times we say, man, I can't go without no meat. I can't go without no Facebook. Go on a fast. Prove to yourself that you can, your body, and you strengthen your spirit in that process. And that's basically what I'm saying as far as what you're going through with falling back to the streets or wherever it is that you just tried to get away from. For one, don't ask God to take it away from you. Ask for him to take away the sensation, as well as work on strengthening your spirit. And the way you do that is by denying the flesh or something that you know that you feel that you need or want. And that will strengthen your spirit because you have overcome something, and now you can reflect on that and say, you know what, I've overcame that. I can overcome this and go from there. So,
very good, very good, brother. I think we have a call on the line. I'm going to ask a question. We're going to have the switchboard now. We're going to take this caller. Is that all right, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. You're on the line.
Yeah, hi. My name is Brenton Osborne. I was invited to call in and by one of the guests that you have on the show, Daryl Harrington.
Okay.
I'm all right. What's going on?
Talk about.
How you doing? I was calling to talk about an organization that we started that's here to help black people live a better quality of life. We created a bunch of programs to enable everybody to just live instead of surviving through life. We're just basically now just doing things to fundraise, and we created a lot of events to bring the community out because that's what it's about. We're having a fundraising bike and car run on June 22nd to Delran, New Jersey. And we just want everybody to come out. They can pretty much go to lioglobal.com, and you'll get a lot of the information that's on there. It'll tell you everything you need to know and all the particulars about it.
Hey, entertain me for 1 second, though.
Sure.
Like I don't know you, and I don't know the answer to the question I'm asking. All right. Oz, how did you come from where you've been to want to give so much to your community?
Well, that's a story in itself. But basically, once I started going to church and got a realization of who God was, he had given me a vision around 1991 on how to help black people. And it just began to cultivate. And as I began to learn more about God and how he was influencing my life, it allowed me to pull from three different particular incidents or things that happened in my life. First was how my grandmother brought me up. Therefore, the organization is named after her and all of the foundation she gave us. Second was when I was in my 20s, all the things that I went through when I was trying to start business and go to college, and I was just being denied, you know, for one reason or another. And then the tertiary was when I finally got to church and I read my Bible and I was able to learn for myself what the Lord told us we should do, shouldn't do. And I just put all three of them together, and it just allowed that vision to start coming together. And once I got that point, I was able now to formulate everything and be able to start putting it out in the way that God wanted me to. So that's really my ascension from where I started to where we are right now.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. So, like I said, like I said, you named it after your grandmother, right?
Correct.
Now, your grandmother, would you say that was the most influential person in your world?
Yeah, at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I know God is, but I mean, like, as you say, at that time, as you were coming up, it was your grandmother. And like I said, now, in losing her, as a tribute to her, you named this organization based upon the principles that she represented to you.
That's correct.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what it is. So out of a great amount of pain that you personally suffered came something beautiful that is life-sustaining and can continue on. It is not only your legacy, but in a part, your grandmother's legacy as well. Would you say that?
That's correct. It initially spawned from how when we were kids, she took care of my mother, she took care of the four, me and my three siblings, and then she went on to take care of a set of grandkids, and I just remember the love, the care, the character she built in all of us, and I said, the one thing in the black community that's lacking and just almost totally erased is the structure that we don't have. And I said, if the Lord gave this to me, I now have a vehicle that I can begin to give to other people and begin to put some of that structure back, to be able to put some of those foundational things there that weren't there before or have been lost and just reestablish them. And once we do that, it'll change the community around, as far as I believe.
Some good stuff, huh?
I just wanted to call in and let everybody start to know about it, know what our organization is, what it does, and how they can get in touch with us. They can just go to www.lioglobal.com, and you'll be able to find all the information about it.
Okay, very good. Very good, brother. I mean, if you could post it to our Facebook wall, we'll get the word out on our website, brother. Those listening to the show, the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/ShadowWorldsRadio. We'll definitely support such a positive cause, brother. And we really appreciate you calling in, brother. We need more brothers like yourself. to be a part of, we call this a movement, in trying to make things happen in our community. So thank you, man.
All right, I appreciate it. Y'all have a great night and continue your beautiful show.
All right,
thank you, sir.
All right, Daryl.
Later, man.
Later.
All right, well, I did. Once again, you know, we really appreciate the listeners that call in, appreciate the voices, and everybody that's just so supportive and want positive change. So, well, getting back to the subject matter, what do we leave off at, gentlemen? I mean, you know,
We left off at that person that's going through or what have you, and they keep falling back to the streets. We discussed them not trying to walk away from it, but facing it head on, not asking for God to take it away, but to take away the pleasure that comes with it. And I also want to add something to that, because it's something that keeps a lot of people in bondage and keeps them from freeing others. And people, they don't talk because they've been through so much or they've done so much in their past life. Those are the people that need to be talking. Those are the best people to be talking. Those who haven't been through crap can't bring anybody out of crap.
I had to drop a bomb on that one, brother. I'm sorry.
It's the people that have been through stuff that need to talk the most, because you are the best examples of what Christ can do for someone else's life, or just change can do for someone else's life, because you are evidence of change. A lot of people that haven't really been through much, haven't really done much, but they're out here talking, trying to bring people that are going through stuff that they've never been through out of their situation.
Well,
but if you got that person that have been doing stuff and has been a terror or notorious for a long time, and people can recognize it, be like, you know, he is jacked up, or he was jacked up when I know him. I get that quite often where people say something on my Facebook wall or whatever, and somebody from my past would be like, don't let that smile and stuff fool you. He will slap you real quick or get you right in check. And I'm like, that's my past. Appreciate you recognizing the change. But
we're not doing nothing with the slap again.
No, but I've had people do it. But that is just evidence of change, of growth. But without the evidence, how can we show some people that they can change and they can become a butterfly after being an ugly ugly worm or, worm.
I think it was
a caterpillar. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
caterpillar.
I'm
like, good Lord. But either way, how in the world can you show change if you don't have evidence of change? So it's those people that are going through. What we tend to do is say, oh, man, I can't say anything. I'm a hypocrite. I've done this, this, and this. No, you are the perfect person to have the platform to show people that they can make it. So stop doing that. I have parents that are like, man, I can't tell my kids that. They seen me when I used to smoke weed and do all this stuff. How am I telling them to do that now? Because you're doing this now. That's why you can tell them. You can show them that you can stop doing that and you can make it and you can be stronger than what your environment told you you're supposed to be, and you can make it out.
Very good, brother. You know what? I knew you was going to do it. I knew it. And I'm going to tell you why I said that, brother, because I knew once this topic came up, I knew that's exactly what I needed to hear from you gentlemen and these listeners. Because I knew that, you know, I threw the alley up, and you was going to slam it. That's exactly. Those people, you guys nailed it. And I think, you know, I heard it in your voice, and those listeners, they can hear it in the voice and the passion that comes out. These are the perfect people, those who's been in the hood. And Brother Dow, you said it earlier in the conversation, that younger people can see the phony ones. They can see the phonies. They can see the phonies because they know that you can't relate to them. And you can't tell somebody about smoking weed if you never picked up a joint. Hold up. A drug counselor can't tell you to stay off drugs. You know, they don't know the battle that this man gone through to get off of that. You know, maybe he was young or maybe whatever. So whatever happened, he got hooked on it. Now he's hooked on drugs. But this counselor never been through none of this stuff, never know about the struggle. He's telling you, well, you know, you need to have a better mind. No, come on. You don't know the struggle, addiction. You can't tell a woman, you know, who doesn't know how to carry herself if she was never taught. But this is the lifestyle she lives in.
Where?
So I definitely agree with you, and I think you nailed it. You brought it back home with the subject matter about the legacy. And that just reaffirms that every single person, whether good or bad, has a plan. God has a plan for it. Everyone, you brought it back home, and I really appreciate you bringing it home. Once again, the alley-oop was there, and you slammed it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You brought it right back home. That's exactly you guys and what a lot of our young listeners and people need to understand. No matter good or bad or indifference, everyone has a plan. You going through those situations for a reason. I think we said it on another show, Brother Eddie, that myself had to go through something to become a better person.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know,
you
have gone through so much.
You wouldn't even know you were a better person if you didn't go through something.
Exactly. You know, and I think also in some of the relationships, I mean, you know, it's crazy because you've said it several times before. For those, you know, you got to let people know about the book before we end the show. But those who understand, even in relationships, but I've learned this so much from Brother Eddie, and then just reaffirming what I'm talking about, Brother Darryl. You gotta talk. You're going to go through something in relationships. There's no perfect relationship out here. There's nothing. So there's a legacy and all that. So you kids, you know, we can't argue for the kids. No, the kids need to see some of this because it's going to happen when they get older. They just got to learn to deal with it and learn how to handle it.
I have a wonderful relationship with my wife now because I had a terrible relationship with my wife in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I know how crazy that sounds, but through all that conflict, trials,
mm-hmm.
and tribulations that
mm-hmm.
we went through, it caused us, for one, understand each other better, and it caused
mm-hmm.
us also to grow close. So
mm-hmm.
it is through those tough times that you build and you become a better you. That is, you don't run away from it.
Back up.
And
you said
go
it.
Through it.
Run away.
If you don't run away from it and you go through it, that's when you can grow and be a better you. But a lot of people, they experience that conflict and they run away from whatever it is. Just like I said, don't run away from your past. Go ahead and walk through it. Let them know, yes. Be the first one to say, yes, I used to smoke weed. Yes, I did.
Yep.
I did whatever it is that you did. Yes, I was a crackhead. Yes, I did this. But the was is the most valuable portion
right.
of that sentence. you have made it through whatever it is that you were going through that was holding you back in the past. But now, because you have, that thing has no longer has any control over you, you're moving on. And that's another thing. If you're running from that thing still has control over you. It's stuff that you can stand in front of and be like, yeah, that's me, that was me, or whatever, that you can, you're freed of. And no one has that, they can blackmail you or what have you. I absolutely loved how Martin Luther King still accepted that Nobel Peace Prize after knowing that he was threatened with his business of sleeping around with his wife would be put nationally in the streets. That is what he's like. That is what I did. You're right. You are right. That's what I did. I slipped up. I fornicated probably several times. I don't know what the FBI said or what have you. But he was clearly, that was his weakness because he was a human, by the way. We all have weaknesses. I'm not saying that what he did was right, but does that take away his legacy? And for those who just found that out about Martin Luther King, because I know some people are like, what do you mean Martin Luther King was cheating on his wife? Martin Luther King was cheating on his wife. He was doing things on the road as he walked people down Mississippi, marches and all that stuff like that.
Oh, Eddie.
You said what?
I said, oh, Eddie. There are women passing out.
Just in the
smelling salts,
because
Eddie done just gone
with it. Oh, jeez. But it's funny you said that, Eddie. Now, Darryl, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah,
why can't our politicians admit to these things? They're trying to build a legacy. Let's just be straight up.
I mean, see, the thing is that they admit to it once it's exposed.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know,
exactly.
Once it hits the fan, this is when, you know, you fall to the altar and then you all of a sudden you're contrite about what you did. Even
mm-hmm.
though
there's not a testimony.
Exactly. Hey, say that one more time.
Exposure is not a testimony.
Wow.
It's
thank you. Those
it's
Don't be reactive. Be proactive.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, like, we've all gone through some things. We all are imperfect. Like, okay, like, I am active in my community. Anybody who knows me, whether I'm running for office or whatever I'm doing, you know me. You've known me my whole life. So it's all out there. I ain't denying anything. It is what it is. But all my mistakes, every fall that I have taken, note, I've gotten up.
But doesn't that make stronger and better leaders, those who are proactive and putting it out there on the table?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why they're leaders.
Absolutely.
Other people we don't know about.
Shouldn't they be stepping up these people?
Those are keeping it to themselves and not getting up. We don't know about them. They're hiding because of the fear of being exposed or whatever you want to call it. They're missing out on so many opportunities to help others as well as to be who they were created to be. Oh, so I'm glad I just brought that up. Be who they were created to be. So many people are who their parents want them to be. There's so many people who what their pastors want them or told them they should be. So many people are who the people in church or their auntie or their grandmother told them that they think they should be, and they're miserable. And they're not as effective as they would have been had they listened to what God placed in their heart to be. I know a lot of people who want to be artists, but they're lawyers. So they look successful on paper, but they're miserable in their spirit. It's a lot of people that are just not who they really are, because they have been defined by their parents or their friends or their cliques or their organizations or their pastor or what have you. And that is a dangerous and terrible place to be, because you are missing out on who God had for you to meet up with, link up with, and help during the process. So.
Wow, good stuff, baby. Good stuff. Listen, guys, I mean, we're getting close to that time, of course, but I want to make sure that we have enough time to kind of do a brief synopsis or a brief bio of what we are and what each of our guys are. So, Brother Eddie, as a matter of fact, let's start with Brother Dow. Let our listeners know who you are and what's going on with you as of today.
All right. Like, my name doesn't tell you anything. It just gives you an identifying label. I'm Darrell Harrington. That's not who I am. I'm a person who's flawed. I'm a person who's made mistakes. I'm a person who has come up short. I'm a person who, in the sense of a crisis, has the ability to stand up. I'm a person who loves his community. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. I love my family. I stand for my children. When I mean my children, I don't necessarily just mean Erica and Brianna Harrington, who are my children, but I mean those who came up in our streets just like we did, you know, just trying to get by, just trying to get up, whichever definition you want to use. It's the understanding of that that makes me the person that I am. It makes it easier for them to be able to trust me in knowing that I'm here as a bridge from where you are to where God intends you to be. Ed said something that was so profound, and it was just on it, is that, you know, be the person who God created you to be. When God molds you at a time of memoriam, he didn't make a mistake. He had a definite plan. You specifically have a plan in his overall legacy. You're part of the blueprint. You're part of the painting, as I am. It is to be able to make it and not fake it. We have a tendency to fall in love with the image you know, whether it be the image that was given to us by our parents, whether the image that's given to us by our friends. Sometimes it's by circumstances or happenstances. You've been locked up. So what? You've lost your job. So what? You're broke. So what? It's not about where you've been, but where you're going. Don't get so wrapped up in the what happened. I mean, know what happened, embrace it. Don't run away from it. But it's not about where you're going. If you constantly are living where you were, you're never going to get to where you're going. So,
very good, very good, brother. Very good, well said. Brother Eddie, what is it that you want to kind of leave the listeners with? Kind of give them a little update and a little brief bio of who you are.
I'm sorry, but were you done, Daryl? Were you finished?
Well, for time to stop constraints, we can call it a night because, you know, we ain't going nowhere.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure you said what you needed to say, man.
Brother,
my apologies, brother. I'm sorry. I'm sitting there, you know, trying to, you know, make sure we run the show on time.
I understand. No, Nas, look, you're looking at Nas, you're looking at time. I understand. Come on, Eddie.
Okay. Well, if it's my time to go, who is Eddie? Eddie Fairley. I am an author. I am a public speaker. I am a mentor. I'm a relationship coach. I mentor children. But first, I am a human being. I am a father. I am a husband. I am just a person who loves people. With all those accolades, in the end, I'm a great communicator, and I'm wonderful at influencing others. And to be quite honest with you, the world should thank God, like I thank God, that I use my abilities and gifts and talents as an influencer and a communicator to do good things as opposed to bad. Because there was a time when I could influence people to do negative as opposed to positive, but I chose the positive area of life and to try to bring people where they can appreciate and look at themselves and just be proud of who they are and who they've become. I don't tell people what to do. I just provide them with different ways to look at things to potentially change their outcome or their current situation. I say embrace everything you go through. Embrace it and question it and try to understand it to figure out what it is that you can use based on what you've experienced to create a wonderful meal of a life through the ingredients that God has given you through your circumstances and situations. I am a fan of love and people, and I am determined through my life to shift people's train of thought, remove them from being robots and just taking what people say because they say they are an authoritative figure or they present themselves in a manner that makes them seem to be more than what they are, and just to teach people how to think for themselves so they don't have to spend all this daggone money to go to a counselor or just trust in a pastor when he speaks because he has a Bible in front of him, to question them as well. And to go to church to get a relationship with God and not necessarily a relationship with his pastor or whatever. Use the tool that he's using, but don't necessarily start praising and worshiping him. Go there for a relationship with God. I'm so glad and grateful that I had a relationship before I had a religion. It just happened to work out that way to where I can't be manipulated or swayed anywhere outside of the way that the Bible is intended to be used. So that is who I am. That is who I will continue to be, a person who is determined to continuously better himself while pulling people along the way. And that's it.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, I appreciate personally the work that you do, Brother Dow. I've been watching what you've been doing this week, brother. You've been getting it in. Brother Eddie, I know you're always behind the scenes doing what you do down in Virginia. For a lot of the listeners, we appreciate the love. Big shout-out to Brent. Big shout-out to Miss Walker for wanting to call in, of course. Mm-hmm. And, of course, big shout-out to Miss Raven. Can't forget Miss Raven. Tony and the rest of the team, Brother Hassan Black, my man Crazy K. You know, just all those have been part of the movement. We're trying to make positive change. We're trying to make sure our actions affect positive change. That's all we do. We're trying to provide a platform and a voice. And those listeners, if you have something, you have some positive that you're doing in the community, or you have something that you want to talk about, a question, please feel free to call in. We're here every Friday after 7 o'clock. The brothers, we get it in. We have a little music. We try to make it an experience. So we want you to be part of the experience. And also be on the lookout. Be soon. Coming out soon is To the Root of It with our brother Edward L. Fairley. He's going to talk about relationships. He's going to go in. So if you have a relationship you have questions about, that would be the platform you want to bring it to. You know, if you don't want to hear the truth, don't call in.
Don't ask me.
you want help, but be prepared to deal with it from an open mind perspective. So, you know, we encourage those, and we appreciate the love that goes down. You know, it's a new format, it's a new day. We got a lot of things. I'm excited. I'm ready to run through walls. Thank you, Brother Eddie and Brother Darryl. I'm ready to run through a wall tonight. You guys did it for me again. I needed that. I need that. I got my little superhero cape on, and I appreciate you, brothers. Definitely.
But, we have to talk about that off air. This is the hero cape you got.
yeah. Listen, man, don't judge me, man. Don't judge me. Listen, man. Everybody act like they never wore the super underoos. Come on, stop it. Nobody ever had to. Come on, you didn't have the one piece, the zip up, the Spider-Man joint.
No, just made me appreciate being poor and just having the mask in my regular outfit when I went trick-or-treating.
Poor people had it too. It was called like the towel. You put a towel on your neck.
Not this poor dude.
No, but you mean something? You never played superhero?
I just had to imagine that I had that on, but you clearly went it all out.
Come on, we all played the poor game. You guys are nuts, OG. No, but for real, you can check us out every week. You know, we get it in, and we look out soon for To the Root of It. It's going down. Brothers, I love y'all with all my heart. I appreciate all the listeners that checks in on the show. And we're going to end off with where we started, with the intro of the show, and we hope and we pray that everybody be blessed. Any closing remarks, guys? We got about 2 minutes left. Any prayers or encouragement?
Yes. Well, actually, I started this new thing on Facebook called Let's Talk. I've been bringing up some serious topics and stuff on Facebook, along with my thought of the days. And this all usually goes to my website as well, which is www.edwardfairley. That's F as in Frank, AIRLEY.com. A great example of what Let's Talk is about. Today's topic was. It was her mind that did it. I hate to admit it. Her words made alive my drive to contrive how she could get it. I'm married, so it's wrong, and I want to be right, but her expressions of love are so strong that they weaken my fight. Break? I just might. Please understand my plight. Her love is pure like white, and her words make me high like the peak of a flight. I'll be honest, if I may, I realize today I hate doing the right thing when it keeps me out of getting my way. Boy, has time forsaken me because I'm married and want to make love to not my wife, but my friend. Now, this is the beginning of a poem that I wrote in at the end of last year. The question is, if you are in a predicament where you just happen to spend a lot of time with someone on a regular basis, like work, class, et cetera, and because of that time spent in many conversations, you find that you've grown attracted to them or that you have even fallen for them, after you realize this, can you control your feelings and stop feeling the way that you do, or is this something that you have to just try to avoid before it happens? Lastly, can you love two people at the same time? This is real life stuff that people don't talk about. Let's talk. This is bringing up different topics or situations that people don't talk about, and we're just having dialogue on Facebook as well as my website. So please look me up at Edward L. Fairley on Facebook, and we can just chat it up and just talk about relationships and all kinds of stuff. That's what I do, and that's what I'm trying to cure or fix with this series, the voice rate that we got going on, and that's pretty much it. Now,
Woo! Wow. I think we just have somebody on the line. I'm not sure if they wanted to call her. It just popped up. Let's see if this last caller.
Okay.
You're on the line with the Man of Talk Show. I think we just have a listener.
Okay.
It's all good.
It's all good, definitely. Brother Dow, closing remarks, brother?
Okay. Well, one, let me get this out here. Tomorrow morning, if you live in the greater Essex County area in New Jersey, Orange, New Jersey, the place is Ebenezer Baptist Church from 9 to 11. It's a seminar on expungement. If you have not committed a violent crime or you've been arrested but not convicted of a crime and you have it on your record, there's no reason for you to be caught on a mistake that you made 10 years ago. It's time to get rid of that mistake and step into your future. So come out tomorrow morning between the hours of 9 and 11. There are going to be lawyers and professionals there to help you straighten out an incident that may have happened a long time ago. So I hope to see you brothers there if you're in the area. Last words for me, great show tonight. We went in tonight and we talked about some things. If anybody out there who is not certain about why they're here, let me just try to share this with you. There is something that we all are able to do. We all have a talent. We all have a gift for something, whether it's music, whether it's writing, whether it's creating something with your hands. Those things are a gift from God. You need to take it, expand upon it. Find others who have taken it and expanded upon it. Build your network up and move forward. Your life is what you make, not what somebody tells you it is, but from what you make it. God has given you everything that you need to get by. Now it's up to you to use it. I wish you the best in it. The anything I can do, just holler at your boy. That's it.
Amen. Amen. I think enough said, gentlemen. I want everyone to have a good night, be safe, and God bless always.
All right, peace.
Ladies and gentlemen,
okay, my name is Edward L. Fairley.
Man up, man!